it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Ball's coming out quicker as he is chased by Cashman. He wins that and out of bounds inside Vikings territory, showing his speed in a carry of 13 yards. They're down in 6. Williams, a lot of room, looking for the end zone. He is in. Touchdown.
That is Joe Buck on Monday Night Football on ESPN. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. And Caleb Williams, after a 27-24 Bears loss to the Vikings at home, ended up 21-35 for 210 yards, one touchdown, no interceptions, did have 2 sacks. That is good for a quarterback rating of 86.6. And as we look at what went right for the Bears on their first drive, for example, when they were able to score, unfortunately went several drives before they had another touchdown. They had to wait until the fourth quarter when it became a 27-24 game in favor of the Vikings. That is when they had their next one as a team. We examine what went right and what went wrong offensively for this Bears team. And I know, Marshall, you had some thoughts.
So we talked before this game about Ben Johnson and what we expected out of Ben Johnson and what he was telling us through the media to guys like Mark Grody out at House Hall about their ability to both run the football and pass the football. If we need to run it 50 times, we'll run it 50 times. If we need to pass it 50 times, we'll pass it 50 times. Well, let me tell you, they ran it 26 times and they got 119 yards, which is not unlike the 26 times the Vikings ran the ball for 120 yards, except there was a difference. The leading rusher for the Vikings was Jordan Mason, who pounded that thing to a 4.5 yard per carry average on 15 attempts for 68 yards. The Bears, meanwhile, though, what was uncommon about theirs, Caleb Williams was their leading rusher with 6 attempts for 58 yards. It's a nice 9.7 yards per average carry. And I do say that man looks spry, healthy, and fast. Faster than I remember, honestly.
Yeah.
And so I look at that and I say, this is kind of good, but it's kind of awful because you need more from your running game. And I'm wondering where Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles and Eric Bieniemy think they're getting the actual running game from at this point. And Dan Roschard, I'll throw him in that mix too, because if you can't block it, you can't run it.
Well, I think that's why we knew DJ Moore was going to be used somehow out of the backfield. That was something that they alluded to in the preseason discussion. I feel like that was especially said after that third and final game against the Chiefs in the preseason. And I saw it used effectively to begin with. You know, DJ Moore only ended up with 3 carries total and it was only 8 yards, but you still saw him, I think, have to change what the defense was doing. Additionally, the reason why Caleb Williams' running game was so effective is because Minnesota had to have a spy on him because they knew it was a possibility, so that changed the shape of your defense as well. I thought that that was important. Being able to just use him, and again, what they try to do is make the same things look different and the different things look the same, they're going to have to lean on that more as long as if he's healthy. You know, that's the other part of this. DJ Moore hadn't missed a start with the Bears since he was signed here in 2023, or traded here in 2023, rather, then signed. But I worry about that piece of it, too, is if you're trying to use him as a suitable part of the run game out of the backfield, and he might be hurt as well, that makes this even somewhat more predictable. And we saw some effective runs on the left side of the field out of at least the running back and Swift. But what about the right side? Yeah, how much are they utilizing the right side of the field as well? I feel like we saw more happening on the left side of the offense as a whole running-wise.
Yeah, and like DJ Moore got carries last year, like I've said many times.
the Bears did start to figure out better ways to use DJ Moore as the season went on last year, just getting him the ball in space, period. That's the best way to generalize that. But and I like it. I like the idea of handing the ball off to him, but he is never going to be a big part of what the Bears are doing running-wise. They're still trying to figure it out because guess what? Even though they are making the best of what they have in the running backs room, we all know now that the Bears, like the Ashton Gentry stuff, like talking about trading up in the first round, there was some reality to that. Like the Bears, you know, they were thinking about that. You know, so you know how serious they were about wanting what they would perceive to be a top running back in the NFL. Then the second round comes along, and other guy, Travion Henderson out of Ohio State, a guy that the Bears were interested in. So I'm not doing this to re-indict the Bears on not making those deals because we don't know exactly what happened, but we do know they wanted better. They wanted better in that running backs room. So if there's anything, you know, beyond Caleb Williams that is a work in progress, it is the running game. It was on Ben Johnson's watch when DeAndre Swift left the Lions. And look, that's not necessarily Ben Johnson's choice, but you're telling me he didn't have input in that at the time? And that doesn't mean he doesn't like DeAndre Swift and doesn't think he's talented. They wanted better for the running backs room, and it didn't work out.
We all want better for the running backs room right now. And I think what you said about DJ Moore, yes, they want to get him the ball in space. The problem was those three carries I saw, they were not in space. That was between the tackle stuff, and it didn't look good.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the offensive line portion of this when we talk about that interior guard, center guard, supposedly being this huge upgrade. I didn't see a whole lot of space for anyone to run at any point in that game last night.
Well, and that's why I point out left side. You know, we got to examine who Jonah Jackson's going to be. Because, for example, we heard a lot about who Ben Johnson knew Jonah Jackson to be from his time with him in Detroit. We almost, therefore, overlooked what happened last year. Injury, of course, and in L.A. But how does that affect somebody moving forward? You want to know. Additionally, Brian Flores is going to scheme in a way that is going to make it tough for you. I just talked about how they had to use a spy on Caleb Williams. That meant the Bears dictated something they did. That's what you want more of. And we didn't see that. We saw a lot of guys shooting the gaps. We saw how he's going to rush five even with the lead. We saw that he became unafraid to blitz. Those are things that affect the run. My bigger issue is you're 15 and now 37 GM. You're right, Mark Grody. I'm sorry. I'm not going to hold back when it comes to this. This was a problem from the very beginning. How do you, in a strong running back class, not get more of what you need? It's not like we're talking about a unicorn here. It's not like we're talking about a quarterback. You drafted one of those 1-1. How do you not get what was considered a fungible position in the NFL filled? You trust your draft board. I don't.
It's arguably,
I have not trusted your draft board for many years. And you're like, well, you got to stay disciplined to the board. That's what Ryan Poles said. Your board has not given me enough, especially in rounds 3 through 6, to make me think that you have that solution available.
Running back is arguably, I don't even think it's arguable. Running back is the most plentiful position in football when you're talking about professional football. And yet the Bears are coming up short there. That's what makes this so unacceptable. And really, when you're talking about Ben Johnson and what you know that he believes he needs to run his offense, an untenable position to be in right now as the Chicago Bears.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One running back ran the ball last night. That was
yes.
It, right?
Yes.
So that tells you everything. The cupboard right now. Yes. Again, Roschon Johnson injured. Travis Homer injured. That is all real. But it is crazy that you go into a Ben Johnson season unarmed, essentially, with a running game. You know what I'm saying? Like that is. I don't even know what the word is, like heavy irony, that going back to Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery.
It's not irony, it's mental gymnastics. Because somebody had to lie to themselves about being confident in something that wasn't there.
Right, and not pulling the trigger on those. I guess, and this is going to, like, maybe this is what they're thinking, and I know nobody wants to hear excuses.
Walk me through
it. But part of it is you're not going to be able to get every single thing you want in an offseason. I'm just saying what they're talking, like, not every position. You fix the offensive line, obviously, but they were not able to pull the trigger.
Nah, I can't sit here and listen to you say that as Luther Burden III is being drafted in the second round. I can't. I will not accept that. I will not accept Luther Burden III and being a second rounder and seeing how he's been utilized so far. I know he's behind because he missed part of camp, but don't act like we didn't have seven rounds of things available to them and they were like, oh, well, you know, our grade for him isn't high enough to take him at this spot. You missed out on everything because of that. Now Kyle Manunga's out here getting one reception, one target, and he's not getting any carries, and that tells me everything I need to know about how you see him.
My friend, we are talking about the offensive line not doing great when they spent millions of dollars on it on three positions in the offseason and had to add a previously practice squad player to the starting rotation when it came to helping protect Caleb Williams. You have a 56th overall pick that you drafted, who we also don't know what you're doing with it. And that's why this is so glaring. Like, you have not given me anything to trust your draft picks en masse the last 4 years. We're not seeing enough out of them in these games like this.
Well, it's seen Karana Magaji on that inactive list. Again, that was... Wow. I mean, it's just getting closer to that is, you know, third round pick should. I'm not saying a third round pick has to start, but you better be relevant. And so far, he hasn't been. And, you know, we're going to get to this point, too. Look, and again, DeAndre, I highlighted that very nice drive that DeAndre Swift did have. He looked like he was running hard. He carried defenders a couple times on the drive. That's the drive that ends in the missed 50-yard field goal. And look, if Ben Johnson is what we all think he is, the $13 million a year head coach who is innovative and makes his own plays and all of that kind of stuff, then guess what? He's got to figure it out. My fear is that we're going to be going through this thing like where Bears fans are going to get desperate. You're going to hear like, put in Britton Brown. Let's see what he's got out there. Let's go. That's what it's going to get down to. And that's frightening. That is frightening because that is half of what Ben Johnson wants to do on offense in terms of running.
We have some important news here.
Oh, Bears?
Oh, what you got?
Yeah, not Bears, but it is NFL and it is a name that we know pretty well. This is, I guess we can call it breaking, because it's going to affect some people's fantasy teams, that's for sure. Breaking news on the score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Adam Schefter says, according to sources, the 49ers are placing George Kittle on injured reserve. So he's going to miss at least the next four games. Oh, it affects your fantasy team.
Hey, I just don't want to see that man playing against the Bears because the Bears decided last year they don't guard him.
Well, Kittle could be injured as long as he's on the field, and against the Bears he would still produce.
So probably.
It's also
the rest
a long
of this is
now.
Kittle injured his hamstring during Sunday's win over Seattle and will now miss games at New Orleans, Atlanta, Jacksonville, and at the Rams.
Well, I'm sorry for him because he's a Bears fan. So I'm sorry that George Kittle is injured, but he did disastrous action against the Bears last year.
He's a Bears fan, but he's in a better place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't begrudge him at all. I like he's like a seven Bear guy at this point.
Does the injury affect anything?
Oh, that he's injured?
Yeah.
Do you think I should take away a Bear because he's hurt?
No, I just want to know your opinion.
No, I think he keeps all of his Bears. He does, yeah.
Well, that's good news for George Kittle. You keep all of your Bears.
Yeah, keep all your Bears. Just stay away from Bears games, too. You did too much damage, George. Love you.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
outside of Cleveland,
the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.